It's time once again for the old Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, CW. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to hit that bell on YouTube and subscribe, like, leave a comment. Tell everybody about this casual wrestling podcast. Welcome to our Setup 2.0. I didn't have an episode last Thursday because I was trying to figure out what we were going to do. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with this podcast in a video format. So I upgraded my background, kind of. I upgraded my lights 100%. I found a better camera, and now we're here. 2.0 Old Wrestling Video Podcast. Let's go. Let's do it, guys. I'm excited, and things are changing. Number one, we're getting rid of the 10-minute format. Why? Because it took way too long to set this up, and I'm doing too many takes of this podcast for me to only talk for 10 minutes about wrestling. So I'm just going to ramble on about professional wrestling. You're going to enjoy it. And then we're going to have a conversation in the comments, right? Right. Number two, we're still going forward with the five count on Mondays and a more freeform episode on Thursdays, whether that be a specific wrestling topic, covering wrestling comic books, covering WWE 2K24, talking about indie wrestling video games that are coming out, talking about, what was that one that I wanted to do? Rating the logos for pay-per-views of old and new PLEs, watching old matches. Who knows what we can do on Thursdays? It's pie in the sky, who cares kind of episodes. But today, we're doing the five count. And the five count is, we're just going to cover five topics that happened in the past week of professional wrestling. So, I have something new for you guys. I hope you enjoy it. And that is, we have presentations. The internet loves a good PowerPoint, right? So this is the supplemental bits. So I wanted you guys to have some visuals, not just my pretty face and my dulcet tones. You have something to look at while I ramble on about professional wrestling. So I hope you enjoy it. Let's kick off the five count right now. So please bear with me as I try and figure this out. Does this work? There we go. Number one on the five count, Swerve Strickland has become the AEW champ, the top guy in the company. Now, I've said before, I don't watch AEW. I just don't have the time. I don't have the channel. I said this before. Someone even in the comments said that they were surprised I didn't. I mean, who has the time? I have kids. I have a wife. I have things to do. And I've carved out time for Raw and SmackDown and then PLEs on the weekends. Everything in the middle is filled with like kids, after school things, and taking care of the house stuff. So bear with me. But AEW Dynasty did happen, and Swerve Strickland was crowned the first African American AEW champion. Now, everyone's the first something. At some point, there's always a first something, but Swerve has been talking about becoming the first black champion in AEW for quite a while. And seeing his seeing his beginnings from WWE in Hit Row to being released, to going to AEW, to being a tag team guy, being kind of a singles supplement, to now being the top guy in the company. That's an incredible run for him to now hold that top guy gold in AEW. Hats off to Swerve Strickland. He is an incredible talent, fantastic wrestler. He has elements of Bray Wyatt, because I believe he was mentored a bit by Bray Wyatt. So he did that homage to him in, I can't remember what pay-per-view he did it in or what show he did it in, but he did have Fiend-esque gear. At Dynasty, he wore the Black Panther outfit, which was chef's kiss. Good on you. That was a really good, I wouldn't say callback, a nice reference. It wasn't even a reference. It was like, they probably had to call Marvel and say, can we use this Black Panther outfit on TV? Regardless, it's great to see Swerve basically eclipse what he was prior in Hit Row, where everyone saw his potential, and now he's realized it in AEW. I hope that he is a long reigning champ. And they've put, they being AEW, has put their trust in Swerve to carry the company. He's the top guy. When you hold the top belt, that's your job. You are the face of the company. So best of luck to you, Swerve. I'll try and catch some of your matches. You're not watching this. Why am I telling you this? But if you've watched Dynasty, you know that it was a great match. And we got a new champ. Number two. Oh, another new champ. Time to talk about Big Time Bex, a.k.a. The Man, a.k.a. Becky Lynch. She has now become the world women's champion. Is that how you say it? WWE World, the women's world champion. Wow. Congratulations to Becky, new champ. Unfortunately, Rhea had to give up her title a week prior due to injury. And now she's on the shelf. Mommy, we miss you. We're looking forward to having you come back. This is where things get a little muddy for me, where Rhea Ripley's obviously coming back as the returning hero. I don't believe she's going to come back as a heel. She didn't even leave as a heel. Everyone loves Rhea Ripley. Hands down. She was not, I believe Becky said it. She's the worst heel in history because everyone loves her. So she's definitely coming back as a face. Now, unless Becky moves to a new show and she takes on Bayley, or Becky goes heel, I don't see how this dynamic works. I'm sure they'll figure it out. Again, this injury to Rhea kind of upset plans, I believe, with Rhea's longer title reign. And having Becky as a veteran and, you know, just a great worker come in and hold the title as like the interim champ, as you would see in like a UFC or something. I'm trying to future book Rhea's return, but there's a part of me that wants to just enjoy the moment with Becky, right? So who knows what the story is going to become when she comes in. Will it be a babyface versus babyface thing? Will they try and make Rhea a real heel when she comes back? Who knows? But at the moment, Bex is the new champ. It comes off the back of a rather so-so battle royale. I really wish they didn't rush this. They shouldn't have. That's a terrible word. They should not rush this women's champ. They should have done some sort of tournament, but then the King and Queen of the Ring is coming up and that's a tournament, so maybe they didn't want to kind of step on those toes. I don't know. But a battle royale just feels like they took all the talent and just dumped them in there and say, everyone just get thrown out until Becky's the champ. There was no real like wrestling involved in that exchange for the title. So I don't know. It was a little lackluster. It is what it is. Professional wrestling moves on. Bex is champ. We'll all move on. But there's nothing wrong with it. But I personally would have wanted Nia Jax to win. Now, a lot of people don't like Nia Jax for whatever reason. There's no reason not to like her. She's great on the mic. She's not hurting anybody right now. She's great. I love that she's returned. What I wish they did was gave her the title so that when Rhea Ripley did return, there was a monster versus monster slayer angle for Rhea to come and beat a dominant Nia Jax. That's just my personal booking. Number three on the five count, new WWE tag team titles. These are quite possibly, no, scratch that. These are the best looking titles in WWE right now. They are an homage to the old belts that teams like the Hart Foundation held. They're big, they're beautiful, they're gold. If they would have incorporated a little bit of color into it, it would have been better, but not color coding it is actually good because that means it can move brands. Whereas the World Tag Team Champions are kind of firmly set in the Raw brand. They're gorgeous. They're the best looking titles on the show. And hopefully Cody Rhodes gets a new title, possibly bringing back the Winged Eagle belt. Who knows what they call it? But hopefully Cody gets a refresh of his title now. And maybe he moves to SmackDown. I don't know. But these new tag team titles are gorgeous. I want them. I want the replicas. The day of their announcement on SmackDown, there was a pre-order for the belts on WWE Shop. Almost did it. Didn't do it. It was like $500. Get out of here. And YouTube makes me no money. So I'm not doing that right now. But at some point, I'm buying these titles because they're gorgeous. And then Dad's First Time, you better buy the other one. Be distant tag champs. It's going to be great. I had a picture of the Raw World Tag Team titles, but we covered that last week. They're not. They pale in comparison to these titles. Can you just look how beautiful these things are? That's incredible. I want them. And to put them on A-Town Down Under, I have no real feeling about that. I wasn't going to take a shot at them. I've said that they're one of the best tag teams in the game right now. In the game. In WWE right now. But I don't know. I'm just infatuated with these titles. I needed to cover them in the show. Number four on the five count. They're turning Chad Gable heel. Scratch that. They turned Chad Gable heel. He went buck wild on Sami Zayn on Raw the week prior. And now, I mean, they went full heel. They took a piece of the Drew McIntyre character where he starts blaming other people for his failures. He being Chad Gable. And then they took his heelness a step further and had him dress down the Alpha Academy in the ring, calling them losers, going to each specific person and, you know, calling out their flaws, calling Maxine dumb, insanity, and then dressing down Otis and then saying that they all had to focus on Chad getting his IC title by any means. And there's a rumor going around that, spoilers, that Chad is going to be teaming up with the Creed brothers in a new sort of heel faction. And number one, I'm 100% for that. They make way more sense. It gives me echoes of Kurt Angle and the World's Greatest Tag Team. That kind of vibe. And the Creed brothers are incredible. They were getting their push late last year. They had to kind of put it on hold for WrestleMania season. But now that we're getting into this new kind of stretch, Chad Gable and the Creed brothers make the most sense. And if the rumor is true and they are pairing them up into this like dominant technical heel faction, number one, that's when you give Chad the belt. You have him beat Sammy and be a heel champ. And number two, you have your built-in feud with the remaining members of Alpha Academy, with Otis potentially leading Tozawa and Maxine into this kind of fray with Chad Gable. I feel like they really, really had to pour on the heat with Chad because he was such an over babyface. I've said it multiple times. Chad Gable is one of, if not my favorite wrestler on the roster currently. The man can do it all, and showing him become a heel, I feel like there hasn't been enough time of him being a babyface. You know, it's probably been like 2 years, but it feels like 7 months or so that he turned face, had his kind of comedy angle with Alpha Academy, and now they're kind of making him serious again. And look, I'm here for it all. The dress down was crazy. If you haven't seen it, go check out the clips on WWE.com. I'm excited. I'm excited for a Chad Gable, Creed Brothers team up. I'm excited for the potential of Chad getting the IC title and then the Creed Brothers getting the World Tag Team titles. Or no, I think he's staying on Raw with the Creed Brothers. And if they have all the gold in this kind of dominant, we're going to choke you out and mess you up faction, we need to just do that in 2K24. Maybe we'll do that on one of the Thursdays. Just have them as a triple threat against whoever. They're going to dominate. The Creed brothers are incredible. Chad's incredible. I'm down for it. But that dress down, whew, it's crazy. And lastly, is DIY over already? Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano took on Awesome Truth on Raw for the World Tag Team titles. Obviously, they were going to lose. I might have said it to myself in one of my many talking to myself moments where I was like, why would you have them defend the title so early? And it seems like Triple H is making them defend these titles early, literally everybody defending the titles early, so that they can set up angles for the losers, right? So DIY lost because why would you give Awesome Truth the titles to have them lose a week later? But they did it so that they can potentially set up Tommaso Ciampa going off on his own. DIY just got together. Their whole shtick since NXT was they keep getting together, splitting up and feuding. If they're going for the Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa feud, sure, the main roster folks and the casual wrestling fans like myself have not been privy to that sort of clash between Gargano and Ciampa, which I hear is incredible. My question would be, where do you put Tommaso Ciampa after that, right? He chased the IC title for a bit, lost. If he's now splitting up DIY, do you move shows and have him away from Johnny Gargano and maybe go after the US title, or there's really not much else to do? Does he go after the WWE Speed title? I don't know what the future holds for Tommaso Ciampa, but he's an incredible talent. Dude makes 40-year-olds look great. Guys moving better than, I mean, I am. I mean, that's not saying much because I move like an old man. I am an old man. Let's get out of here. But I hope this leads to something really good for Gargano and Ciampa. I feel like they were finally finding themselves in the tag division together, and splitting them up, I don't know if that's the best course. But look, I'm not a booker. I don't know any of this stuff. Just working through all the angles in my head, I'm like, does it make sense to split them up? Who cares what I think? It doesn't matter. Well, what do you think? Let me know in the comments. Do you think DIY should split up now? Is this the perfect time? Or should they stick around and maybe become a heel tag team faction? It's worth noting that WWE's tag team division for the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 years has not been the greatest. The tag division now is the strongest it's ever been. There are so many established tag teams vying for titles. The fact that they split the titles up once again and now each show has their own titles that can be fought for is incredible. Every team is starting to have that synergy that you need in a tag team, where they're not just two people who have been slapped together, but they have rapport and they have angles like A-Town Down Under. The fact that they gave them that name, as goofy as it is, works for them, right? They got paired up because they were two heels with almost, not similar, but very complementary aesthetics. And now they have similar gear. They have tag team moves. They kind of do. Their movesets have gelled quite a bit, and being tag champs is just going to further that. You have DIY. You have Awesome Truth. You have the Creed Brothers. You have Judgment Day, which is kind of on the rocks. You have the New Day is still kicking around there. You still have Alpha Academy. Like, there's so many great tag teams just roaming around. You have a friggin' OC who gets no play. I don't understand what's going on with the OC. Two incredible professional wrestlers not getting the play they need. Just put them on. Just get them in the SmackDown tag team race. Let's go. Tag team wrestling is, when it's good, it's incredible. And when they adhere to the rules of tag team wrestling, like holding that string and only tagging in when they, you know, holding that thing and, you know, the count outs, and when they get all the rules and you watch tag teams kind of perform by cutting off the ring and just kind of getting their tag team psychology, there's nothing better. It's great. And Xavier Woods once said that there's the heavyweight title, and right beside it is the tag team title, because the heavyweight title means you're the best singles wrestler in the company, and the tag team titles means you're the best tag team title, the best tag team in the company. I don't know if I agree with that 100%. I think it's more heavyweight title, and then tag titles like a close second, and then right below that is the IC title. Kind of, you can do that. Best single, best team, best workhorse, and so on and so forth. But it's definitely rising to that point where I think the Usos kind of brought the game up when they had the titles being, they were the best team in like professional wrestling when they were doing their bloodline thing as tag champs. So, that being said, I'm incredibly impressed with the way the tag division is going. I love those tag team titles. I wish now that whoever designed the WWE tag team titles also worked on, and maybe they did, also worked on the world titles, because when you put them next to each other, it's night and day. It's night and day. I've never wanted a replica belt more than when I saw that tag team title. And I have in my possession the white IC title, which is possibly the greatest title that WWE has ever made. Yeah. Let's put that out there. What do you think? Let me know in the comments what your favorite WWE title is. That's it, guys. That's the five count that I've got on deck. Let me know what you think of this new format for the show. I appreciate all feedback. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you tell a friend. And don't you ever forget.
I'm your friend, but if I ever see you in the ring, I can beat you. Don't you know? Yeah.